Hello, everybody, and welcome to Bulbacast, episode number 13 of season 2. I am Tizzy Hill, of course, and I have been here for a few weeks, and I'm glad to be back. So I'm going to introduce everybody right now. First, we're going to have Satoshi-kun.
Hello.
Yabberkick, the Bulba Garden Webmaster.
Hello, everyone.
We have Jotini927 from Brinstar Depths in Bulba Garden.
Hey, guys.
And we have Misty, also from Bulba Garden.
Hi.
And finally, we have the webmaster with the most from Pokemon Palace Network, PPN Steve.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
And we are going to have a great cast for you tonight. We have a special guest later to discuss Movie 9. But first, before we do that, I want to hand things over to Arkek because he has something to speak about. So go right ahead.
Okay, now some of you people have probably already seen the Japanese episodes from this week, so you might have already noticed this, but for the rest of you, a little thing has come out in the trailers for the newest movie in Japan. To put it bluntly, it looks like Pidgeot's returning. Ash is clearly seen riding around on him and commanding him and battling with him, and it's, well, it's interesting that they actually brought something back from Kanto, and of course that opens up the door for a lot more to come back from there if they intend to. I mean, obviously Pidgeot was pretty damn popular. I don't know if Butterfree or Primeape could potentially come up, but...
Maybe Charizard?
Well, Well, that's another possibility, too. He's certainly come back enough times before.
Uh-huh.
He's gone by the end of the episode.
So, yeah, this is an interesting development.
Yeah.
Right. Fresh, too.
Yeah, I mean, we don't actually know that Pidgeot's staying, which is something, but...
Even if he makes a guest appearance, that's a big deal.
Well, yeah.
Or maybe the movie's going to be a complete flashback to the Kanto era?
Well, I don't really think that could work.
Well, the thing is, his
Well, isn't there space and time involved in the?
Here's the thing, though. There are continuity issues with the movies, though. Because you might have some characters reappearing and they haven't seen them in an anime for a long time, for the longest time. Mm. So it could be a possibility. I mean,
Misty.
Very, very, it's very possible. I can tell you that. Because remember, it does not have to go, the movies do not have to follow the timeline of the anime.
That's very true.
Just remember that.
I think they do
That's hot news, everyone. Heard it first on Bulbacast.
Indeed.
Bulbacast with all the great news.
You better have heard it here first. We'd be pretty upset if someone else published that first.
Now, let's get the ball rolling with our first call-in. The first call-in tonight will be Full Master, so let's get him in right now. Hello, Full Master. Welcome to the Bulbacast, episode number 13 of Season 2.
Hey.
Hello, guys.
Hey.
Hello there, good sir.
Hey, Full Master.
How are you, and what's your question?
How do you see Pokemon's popularity in the next 10 years?
Hmm.
Haven't we done this one recently?
Kind of.
I think we have.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. I think we'll have a brief peek with the Diamond and Pearl and PBR releases here in the next year or so. And that it'll ride that peak for a little while and dwindle just back down to its normal.
Nah. With the general direction the anime is taking right now, it actually has the possibility to succeed. A little bit of a higher age level this time around, and that's the age level that's really selling anime at the moment.
Now, I was going to qualify what I said with that.
Just has to depend on the...
It's going to increase. We're going to get a lot older fan base.
Yes, it's going to entail to the first generation, and if the first generation can be satisfied by these things, even though I highly doubt it, that's going to continue on, but it's not going to have as much popularity as it did when it first came out.
No,
it's at its peak.
It's going to have the teenage fan base this time with the fan service.
Well, I think in order
it's
for them
to be
you
like
know,
second or third generation fans this time around, and that's other people who are currently getting into all the new series. All
right. Anyway, FM, what other questions do you have?
CN's giving a lot of hype into the Diamond Pearl series. That being said, how do you think it will correspond with the fame that the games will have in America?
Timing is going to be everything.
Yeah. That's true.
Yes, and considering that DP is going to debut about 2 weeks before the games come out, that's definitely going to spur some hype.
I would have hoped so. What, Cartoon's going to do a preview, probably episode one.
Yes.
It's going to do three.
They've already announced three episodes, but they're not going to air in the same day. Not like DP in Japan.
Oh, they're going to actually premiere three eps?
Yeah. Yeah.
Last time I read it.
But it's going to be on three separate days.
Ah.
Well, I would hope.
Yeah.
That's news.
That is definitely different. News, yeah. And I can tell you right now, I am not going to watch a dish soap on my television, okay? Because I'm not getting Dawn because Dawn is a dish soap. And
Dawn.
Dawn and Paul. The guy, I'm telling you, the writers must have went into a supermarket, bought the products, they probably bought Mrs. Paul's fish sticks. Like, oh yeah, we're going to name this guy Paul, and I'm going to buy dish soap. So that's probably
Dawn,
what happened.
Dawn just makes me think of the girl from Buffy. That's pretty much all I think of.
So great. What are the next characters going to be? Mr. Bubbles and Palmolive? Satoshi, you just caught a Listerine. What does it do? It makes Team Rocket's teeth sparkle and clean. Meow, that's right.
Cartoon Network obviously wanted to do this so they can build a pipe for the games, because obviously if they like the series, If the viewers like the series, they'll go out and buy the games. Whole mass marketing gibberish and all of that, and hopefully it will be up on a positive note.
Actually,
they did that for Indigo.
I'm willing to bet that it's the other way around.
How so?
Cartoon Network is airing the anime because of the pending game release.
And also, the reason why is I think they could fit that 52-episode quota that they wanted to fit.
Well, they're not marketing it that way, though.
They're changing the season.
They're telling us it is a preview of the coming season. Okay, great. They're going to air those three eps again next summer when they start the Diamond and Pearl.
They did this with Advance.
Well, one thing I've noticed was when the ads for DP started on CN, they kept naming it Season 9. Season 10, I mean. Sorry.
Oh.
It is, because it's technically a new place, new time, new genre. Or you can't call it genre, but you know what I mean.
New era.
The 52 episode thing is probably gone.
Time will tell whether the preview of sorts will have an effect on the game sales, but maybe not, maybe so, but we have to take a look at the numbers at probably the end of May, because that'll be the most accurate, because you have to give it a month's time.
Mm-hmm.
Got anything else for us?
No, that's about it.
And thank you, FM, for calling, man.
Thank you for having me.
And you have a, yes, thanks. You're welcome. You have a great night, and hopefully we'll call again.
You You too. Thank you.
All right. All take right, care.
Bye. Right.
Yeah.
Bye.
And now we're going to go to the question of the week. And now here's Satish-kun.
The question of the week was to give a fourth generation Pokemon to any of the characters who are no longer in the Pokemon anime, such as Mei, Misty, Max, Tracy, you know, anyone you wanted to, and any fourth generation Pokemon, and to possibly at least give a reason why you wanted to do that. So, first, I have Fabu Vinny, who wrote he would give Max a Munchlax, since he probably won't be getting any Pokemon of his own in this generation. Getting to see him look after Mei's Pokemon in Pebblebrick City would be great, especially Munchlax after his scenes with it in Battle Frontier. Well, yeah, that works. Mei would be given a Leafeon, this being the reason for her to take a quick journey to Sinnoh. He also thinks it would be a good plotline for Dawn to be inspired by this and end up with a Glaceon. He'd give Misty a Finneon. Obviously, it has to be water Pokemon, and it can't be Piplup, Weasel, or a Legendary. He just likes Finneon the best out of all the remaining options, and he thinks it would be a good way to show the underwater Pokemon. And he'd also give Tracy a Porygon Z in a trade as part of a research for Professor Oak. The Fang has as much chance of appearing in the anime as Tracy has of catching a new Pokemon. Okay, Habuneku says that Max should get Mei's Munchlax. Well, that's the second person saying Max should get a Munchlax, so I think Max should get a Munchlax. His reasoning behind this is their friendship really seemed tight, and sometimes it seemed Munchlax was more Max's Pokemon than Mei's. Ah, the two seemed like brothers in his opinion. And if Mei started off, or if Max started off his journey, Habuneku is sure that Mei would be more than willing to lend him that for protection until he gets his starter. Alright, and Great Liver, his answer would he'd like Tracy to get a Bronzor just to add to the hodgepodge of creepers his team consists of. He could really see Misty getting Finneon or Lumineon, since they're a lot like Goldeen, but he really thinks it would be funnier to see her get stuck with the Hippodon, just since they hate water, even though they're hippos. He'd like to see Max get an Eastern Celebes and a Skorupi as a starting bug. Aside from wanting Eevee to evolve into a Glaceon from Mei, he'd like to see her get a Stunky. Hate it just because it looks horrible, but then learn to work with it. And those are the answers to the question of the week. And our question for next week comes from our friend Sunane, who has just left to live with her fiancé. We will miss her. I miss you already, Sunane. But her question...
Yes, we miss you.
Yes. She says, the Diamond and Pearl features have been all announced. Is there something that you would have added to the games that aren't included in the fourth generation games? Question of the week. Have fun, guys!
Thank you, Zadishkin, for that wonderful insight.
April Fools!
As we take this break, let's take this time out and say... We're going to have this commercial break, and we're going to be right back right after these messages. So don't go away.
Bulbas, meet the Bulbas. We're a Pokemon community. From the former garden, we're not showing on the telly. Let's work with the guys down the street. Through the Bulbacast, we can meet. When you're with the Bulbas, have a Pika Pikachu time. A Raichu time, we'll have a mail time. Someday, maybe your cake will win the fight, and that Joe will shut up for the night. When you're with the Bulbas, you'll have a Pika Pikachu time. A Raichu time, we'll have a mail time.
Erica!
Okay, anyway, we're going to talk about movie 9 now, so we have Vinny Liger here. So let's discuss and get to business.
Yay, yes, let's discuss. All right.
So just to get everybody back up to speed, the dub version aired this past Friday on Cartoon Network, and the Japanese version has been out for a few days now, and people have watched it, I imagine. I also wrote an article for PPN's newsletter stating about this. This has been a downfall of Movie 8, since Movie 8, rather, because, I don't know, it just didn't capture the magic. Manaphy didn't exactly click. Sorry.
It seriously clicked for me. It really did, and...
Yeah, but the problem is it has the... Yeah, it didn't have exactly as much expectations that I would have expected, but...
Well, you know, it wasn't as good as Lucario, but it was light years better than Jirachi or Deoxys.
Mm.
Yeah, moving that.
Yeah, a shoe is better than the Deoxys movie, yes.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on that.
All right, well, let's see what our guest has to say.
Yes, and Liger, you wanted to comment on Movie 9, so give us your opinion, please.
Well, long opinion short, while it wasn't probably as good as Movie 8 by a whole mile, I enjoyed Movie 9 quite a bit, much more so than movies 4 and 7. I would probably say that I probably enjoyed Movie 6 just as much as Movie 9, but it's been almost ages since I've seen Movie 6. But I certainly enjoyed it, and actually I thought that the new dub was actually excellent from the
yes.
first hour that I saw.
Yeah, I will say this. Adding my thoughts to it, the dub was very good, and the lines were not completely true because you have to change things to fit lip flaps for the
yeah.
American version.
Well, they do, but you don't really have to.
Right.
But
they do because they're perfectionists. But the one thing that did irk me was there was a music change, just one though, as opposed to the millions of music changes in the.
Television series?
Previous four kids releases of movies.
Oh.
What was the music change in this movie?
The one music change, without really going to... Well, I guess it wouldn't count as a spoiler so much, but in the scene when Jackie explains, you know, why he became a Pokemon Ranger, you know, there's a flashback, and he's shown with the horde of Pokemon in the cave when he's stuck in, and that's
yeah.
where the music change is. Because in the original, there was, like, as someone put it earlier, a doo-wop version of Spirit playing in the background, and now they changed it with something a little bit more, I wouldn't say rockish or rockabilly, but something
soothing
that...
Soothing music.
Yeah, like, it is a contrast from the... you know, BGM that we're used to from the original Japanese music, but actually, in my opinion, it fits well in the movie. And
yeah.
I think it continues on into, like, I don't remember if the original version continued on into the scene with, you know, where we see Manaphy swimming with Haruka or Mei, but I thought it worked pretty well, actually. And
yeah.
in my opinion, it's like the best musical change that they did out of all the movies, save for a few orchestral moments in the Warner Brothers movies, you know, movies one and two, I think. Movie three, I can't remember that one. But anyways, yeah.
Warner Brothers released that also.
Yeah, one and two had, I think, actually had better music in the dub than in the original.
I disagree with that because they just...
I disagree also.
For some of the music they picked out. Ooh, the latest stars. Ooh, here's the Backstreet Boys.
Well, we're talking about the orchestral music, not the pop crap that we all loathe unanimously. Can't say the word. But anyways.
Yeah.
Okay, well, from the sounds of it then, the change that they made was to music that was supposed to try and get an emotional response from the audience, and they tried to change it to something that would get the same sort of emotional response out of Americans that the original music would have got out of Japanese. In which
yeah.
case,
right.
that's a fair enough change.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you've
changed
the tone of the scene.
But also, in Japanese movies, there's quite a few scenes, you know, where there's very minimal or no music, and, you know, American, well, kids, you know, they're not used to, apparently they're not used to having, you know, extended
it's
scenes
balance.
Without music, right?
Yeah.
Well, the reason why it's all about attention. Because, you know, I hate to admit this, but I think U.S. children have less attention spans than Japanese children, so they can that I'm not used to.
Than most in general.
There's actually studies being done on that that I've looked at as part of my business studies, like for advertising, and it's really interesting, actually, what kinds of changes you need to make to advertising and to movies and all sorts of other things like this when you aim them at children simply because of the differing attention spans.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What did you think of the actual script, dub versus the original Japanese?
Right before the... So dubs, like, I barely had time to watch it. In fact, I didn't even realize at the time that the dub was actually this past week on Friday. Like, I knew it was coming up, but anyways, actually,
it
was save for a few comical changes, you know. But if you ask me, I thought them staying pretty much faithful to the original was the best thing that's happened to any of the Pokemon movies, you know.
Right,
because they didn't go the extra mile to localize, you know, so many things. Like, sure they could have kept the original name of the temple, but I think the new one, it's just the English one is just as fine.
They did do a little bit to compensate for an American audience.
Yeah, because you know, there's only certain words that we can.
What they didn't. Do plot changes like they've been known to do.
There were some lines that were
important lines were left in.
They put some
almost
puns
directly translated
before, but that was about it.
I'm sorry, Jason, that did not work because we all talked at the same time.
Yep.
No, I'm not.
Okay. So come on,
Ollie.
Okay, go ahead.
Damn it.
Well, if I want to add something here. To note the length of the movie. The length of the movie for the Japanese version is 1 hour, 46 minutes, and 38 seconds. The dub one is a little over 1 hour and 41 minutes.
Well,
of course,
that could be a TV thing, too.
That's probably due to time cuts in television, also due to the fact that the U.S. version does not have a full-length ending, I imagine. Well, maybe not for standard version, because I'd have time cuts, commercials, all those other things.
I probably wouldn't really take into account the running time until we actually see what's on the DVD. Because remember, when Movie 7 premiered last year, or was it 2005?
It was last year.
Yeah, okay. There's some people that are scared that, you know, the Jesse's butt scene would get cut out of the DVD, right? And, of course, it turns out nothing got cut out of the DVD. In fact, what we ended up video was actually the original theatrical print, and what the Japanese ended up on the DVD with was a reanimated version a la Mewtwo Strikes Back, you know, because, right, even then we had the altered version as well for the movie one, but, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just trying to say, you know, like, because also the US TV broadcast did not show the ending theme song, so I really wouldn't... really take anything into account until, you know, the DVD comes out in April.
Right.
Right?
Now, Cartoon Network did say this was the theatrical release version, obviously, and they aired it in Letterboxd widescreen.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yes. Kudos to them for...
And we know already, without even checking, that the DVD release most likely is going to be full screen.
Yeah.
Also, the last Pokemon movie did it have a surround track or not? Do we know?
No, it didn't.
This one had a surround track for the for Dolby Pro Logic for the broadcast release. I would be guessing they would also have a Dolby Digital soundtrack for the DVD.
I'm sure it'll be in the DVD because of the water element, and it's really helpful for positioning in the water.
Yes.
Moving along on this. A little bit. Overall, what's your opinion on the story, the actual storyline of Movie 9?
What's my opinion? Good question.
Well,
I think it's just pretty much standard children's fare. Like, nothing too special, you know, but nothing too, you know, childish, right?
Come on, a pirate?
Well, the pirate was a refreshing change in Pokemon because I...
And the parrot, no less.
Yeah.
Cliche.
Yeah. Well, the one cliche I kind of missed was the "Arr, matey."
I know, I was waiting for that too. I really was. Come on, I was gonna. Come on, you have to say it once in this movie.
Well, you can't expect every bloody pirate to, you know, say "arr," you know.
Arr.
My opinion of the movie. Well, I enjoyed it. I think it's on par with Juachi Wishmakers. So, like not.
It's still better than movie 6 though, because movie 6 plot was kind of boring. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well. In some ways, yes.
At least it had some kind of a story to it.
Yeah,
just
a brat and the
I think if anything, movie 9 was basically a Haruka version of movie 6, only with an added pirate, new Pokemon.
Well, actually, I think it combined elements of movie 2 and movie 6, really.
Also combined elements of Laputa, Kessel in the Sky, in a way.
I think what helped is having an actual villain. I think the lack of real villains in recent movies has hurt them substantially.
Yeah, like I would probably say Butler didn't even really count so much as a villain in movie 6. Like, he wasn't scary enough. Well, I think Phantom wasn't really scary either, but I mean, he made more of an interesting villain than Butler did.
Because basically he was portrayed by as a protagonist throughout the entire movie until the very end.
Do you think movie 9 had any kind of impact or relation to the current anime?
To be honest, I have not watched the anime in years. Like, I've seen a few episodes here.
Okay, so you don't have an opinion.
No, I can't. I honestly can't say I have an opinion.
Okay. All right. So I just wanted to quickly jump back to the villains thing for a second, but I thought it very interesting when we saw this, like, Team Rocket magazine or newspaper or newsletter or whatever the hell it was with that captain guy in there. I mean, he's obviously then a member of Team Rocket or an affiliated organization, unless that whole thing... And I mean,
he could have bought an ad too.
Weren't there like a Jesse and James ad in there or something? I can't remember if it was from there or if it was from some other episode or something. But didn't we see them in that thing trying to sell something?
I have to wonder if it was related to that thing that Annie and Oakley had that Lawrence the Third was in, in here,
possibly.
Could be tying some little elements together here and there. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like the villains in the Pokemon universe are really all that powerful, but there's a lot of them out there, obviously, and we never seem to hear about them until they cross paths with Satoshi and the gang. So it's nice to actually see some linkage there, and it could actually be like linking into the proper anime itself and doing a little building there.
Well, yeah, we got to realize the Pokemon world is so vast and spread out.
Yeah,
we haven't seen everything.
Yeah, because there are many more people to meet, many more regions to go.
Exactly. I mean,
the person can't go to. I would imagine a person can't go to every single region quite easily. I mean, you have to travel many, many, many miles, and I think that's a task for most people, I imagine. So the writing has definitely gotten better, in my opinion, anyway. And I think those writers have translated it over to the movies quite well.
I can't fault the story, okay? It was fairly well developed for being cheesy.
I can say one thing about PUSA now. You know, everyone's got this bad image of them, but after this movie now, we can definitely tell that they do know what they're doing.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, there was minimal changes, which is great.
Yeah, something you want to see.
Minimal changes is wonderful.
Yeah, I think that PUSA here with the anime has done the exact same thing they did with the TCG.
They're trying to work it.
Yeah, they gave another company the rights to it for a few years, watched them, learned how they did things, and then they took those rights back, and they went and did it themselves and did it just as good, if not better, after a few stumbling steps to start with.
Yeah.
I was going to say, though, that it's like what, you know, 4Kids was doing to the anime, like, as they seem to do with any of their other properties, that, you know, they, I don't know, for some reason, they seem to intentionally, like, botching some parts of the anime, it's like all they care about is the money, you know? It's like they don't give a crap about the actual anime itself. Hence why One Piece ultimately failed, and I think maybe Sonic X as well, but I'm not sure.
It's all about volume to them.
Yeah. Like, and actually, they're losing profits too. And I just read on Anime News Network last week that they posted one of their quarter reports. So let me pull it up.
Yeah, it wasn't happy.
Yeah, and there's some business company or commentator that basically made fun of them.
Well, you know, they made their own bed. Now they got to sleep in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One Piece for four kids was an absolute train wreck of an investment. It was a hugely expensive property in Japan, and they took it and went, we can't show this to children, we've got to dumb it down, which was totally the wrong decision to make. Look at Naruto, it's aimed at the same age group, and it didn't have to dumb itself down, and it still worked. They knew what they wanted their target market to be, but they bought these things that in Japan had the same target market, and then realized after they'd bought them that, oh, the things that appeal to that target market in Japan don't appeal to the same target market over here.
I wanted to say one thing about 4Kids, you know, since, you know, they're like a network that likes to run a lot of animes, too. And, you know, when they run a lot, you know, they have to, like, you know, kind of, you know, they have to monitor a bunch at one time. But, like, you know, ever since PUSA got, you know, the rights to Pokemon, they just focus on Pokemon itself and not have to focus on many other things like 4Kids does.
That's true, too. Mm. So we can actually have a better U.S. anime.
Yeah.
They're more dedicated to the thing than the other guys.
They would be more true to the original, I would hope.
Mm-hmm. They know.
Whereas
they
4Kids are general, and they have to target everybody, where Pokemon USA can really focus on the Pokemon fan and then go after the general market.
Yeah.
Exactly, because remember because remember 4Kids have their own quota and target audience that they have before.
If you build it, they will come thing.
Yes, exactly.
So if you provide a quality product, people will come and watch it.
We should probably get back to discussion of the ninth movie now. But
I feel it was true to the original Japanese version for the most part, but like overall, it just wasn't the best movie.
Yeah,
it had a little bit of bore to
it.
It
was too simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, it had a decent story, and it was a well-rounded story, but
I'd like to see them make a Pokemon movie that, you know, is kind of like as long as, say, a Harry Potter movie, and also a little bit more mature, just like, you know, how the Harry Potter movies, you know, they're getting more mature and better with each movie, right? But I'm saying, like, I want to see them make, like, a Harry Potter-length Pokemon movie and make it not just for, you know, younger, older kids, but also for, you know, teenagers and maybe for adults, too, you know?
I think if we see that, it'll either be an OVA or it won't include the main cast of characters from the anime, because
I'd like to see more OVAs targeted to the American market.
Yeah.
Well, it would be targeted to the Japanese market as well. I mean, there are a lot of older Pokemon fans there.
That stuff doesn't come here. Like, they have Pokemon Sunday, which is just, like, totally insane.
Random. Yes.
I watch Pokemon on Sunday.
Why don't we have something cool like that here? Why don't we get, I mean, okay, yeah, we got some of the other OVAs, like, in the form of Chronicles, but
That's not the fifth of it.
Most of them were reruns.
They could probably do Pokemon Sunday fairly cheaply in America just by grabbing, for the hosts, a couple of the bigger names from the existing Pokemon fandom.
Yeah, and then they could throw it into syndication. That's the whole thing. All right, thank you so much for this in-depth conversation.
Oh, no problem. Anytime, and
we'll definitely have it again. Yeah.
Sure. If I'm around, just sure, give me a shout. As long as it's not something to do with the episodes, that's fine. Because I'm actually out of date as far as the episodes are concerned.
Okay.
And by the way, Archaic, is very nice to hear you in person. Your voice at least. I don't believe we've ever chatted before.
Probably not. I think.
Yeah, and to everyone else, nice talking to you again.
Thank you for being on the Bulbacast.
No problem. I enjoyed my time on here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Right. Good night.
All right, you have a good night.
Cheers. See you.
Bye.
Bye. Great.
Oh, that was
great.
Guest.
Great.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was really good.
We're going to have the honor and pleasure of bringing in Pokemon Trey Lisa next for calling, so let's get to him right now.
Hello.
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 Hi, everyone.
Yes. The 13, excuse
hey,
me.
Hey, it's quiet there today.
Yes, very quiet.
It's because I'm at home.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yes.
How are you, dear?
Tag and a clapping for you. Yes.
Yay.
Welcome to the Bulbacast, Lisa.
Thank you.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
Yay. And what's your question?
Okay. Do you think the Pokemon anime and its staff receives enough recognition in Japan? If not, why do you think people don't appreciate the wonderful storylines and animation that the series brings?
It receives more than enough.
Each yeah.
It's not usually number one in the box office, except for...
No. Not exactly. No, behind... It's either behind... I think last time it was behind...
Howl's Moving Castle.
Yes, Howl's Moving Castle. It was only behind that. It beat Naruto, though, for a few weeks. I know Zen cool. is a big Japanese movie statistics person, so he knows more about
it. I mean, it's worth mentioning here. In Japan, Pokemon shows on the same day as Naruto. They're the two biggest anime for that age group. They're both shown in prime time right after the news in the big anime on Wednesday or Thursday?
It's Thursday.
Thursday, yeah, because Pokemon move from Wednesday to Thursday. That's correct. Okay. But that's the biggest thing in Japan currently. I mean, there's a huge amount of recognition from the fans to the amount of work they do. They basically do actually create an episode a week to make sure they keep up with what they've got on TV. They don't take very many breaks whatsoever. And usually when they do take a break, it's because they're doing an hour episode for later. So these guys have to pump that stuff out very quickly, and they do it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's especially significant when you compare it to something like Naruto, which actually has a manga to draw all its material off, and when it went through the filler arc where it didn't have that, it had a noticeable drop in quality, whereas you go to Pokemon, and it's never had an anime. It's never had a manga to draw stuff from. It's always had to do it new every single week.
Right. The manga, in fact, of Pokemon is basically drawn off the anime or the games.
Yeah, they've got...
It's not the other way around. It's not, you know, manga first and then anime or games or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just wanted to mention something quickly there about, like, how long you mentioned the Pokemon franchise being going. Pokemon is now as much a part of the... culture of the younger people in Japan as is Detective Conan or Super Sentai it has the same position in Japanese society now as those things have had.
So Lisa, what else do you have for us, if anything?
Okay, well, I'm not sure if this question was asked before, but it may have been talked before at a previous podcast, but anyway. Okay, if Pokemon existed in our world today, what do you imagine would happen as a result of these creatures existing? And would this event dramatically change anything for us in our daily lives?
Yeah, I'd have my Charizard.
Change.
And there'd be a lot of fires in my neighborhood.
I mean, let's
accidental fires. Fire department.
I don't know about accidental.
Let's be perfectly honest here. If there were lots of Pokemon all around the place in the real world right now, you would have wars.
Definitely.
I would be arrested for smoking Bulbasaur.
Not to mention whatever.
Like, they would be using them in the war on Iraq.
The fact that the average person, though, would have them would... that would change things dramatically. I mean, mm-hmm. every single Pokemon, let's be honest here, in the real world with real world physics, if they could really use those attacks, every single mm-hmm. Pokemon can kill a human like that. It's simple, easy. They'd be weapons of mass destruction. And if yes. Pokemon were that widespread, honestly, if there wasn't
They'd be the dominant species.
The apocalypse.
If there wasn't immediate government regulation of them, and if humans weren't able to actually tame them very quickly, etc., etc., then you would very quickly have a lot of humans dead. And things would be all over the place.
Unless of course humans are somehow partially immune to Pokemon attacks. I don't know.
I think the interesting thing would be that you would probably have a lot of religious fanatics declaring them to be agents of the devil. So.
Oh goodness.
Anyway, I think it's time.
Let's move on.
I think it's time to move on because I think we spent a lot of time with Bulbacast
and it
was an interesting conversation.
Yes, it was.
Thanks for all the conversation.
You're welcome.
All right, you take care now. We're
doing okay. You too.
And good night.
Bye-bye.
Very good call once again, PTL. You know, this
interesting subject.
Interesting subject.
This is the kind of thing that we'd talk about in that Pokemon World forum on Bulbagarden. That's the kind of thing that should be going there. I just wanted to ask the other people we have in here today, what you all think of the new dub now as opposed to what you thought, say, a couple of months ago or originally. All I've seen was with the new dub actors is the Mastermind special, and I think people have been replaced then and so forth. And normally I just watch the Raw episodes, so I can't really comment too much on the dubs.
Me neither. I can't do any, I don't have any jurisdiction on dub either because I don't watch it.
But I know there's a lot of people who can only watch the dubs.
Not going to name specific people in question, but they don't know who they are.
Well, no, I was just going to say because people don't understand Japanese. Yeah, there's a lot of people who can't watch the Japanese episodes, either because they just aren't able to get them or because they can't understand Japanese even if they could get them. So a lot of people can only watch the dubs. So I'd like to know what everyone thinks about it now that we've had time to cool down and not be so crazy as we all were initially.
Well, for the dub, you know, it's really easy to see since the Mastermind aired, you know, when we first saw Mastermind, we were like, wow, these dub names really, really do really, you know, suck, basically.
Yeah.
But now after, after they've gotten into their roles pretty much over the past, I don't know how much, like 6 months or so, probably longer, you know, they've played into their role more and they've gotten used to their characters. So now, you know, we can definitely tell from watching the ninth movie that just showed, we could tell that, you know, they're really into their character now, and then, you know, they got the voices down pretty much to a cue. But the only one that I'd say, you know, that still has a little bit of trouble is Ash's new voice actor. Because, you know, she still has to get used to it a little more. But everybody else, I'd have to say, is pretty much into their role and pretty good at acting.
Yeah.
Not to mention that the original narrator is back, so at least...
Yeah, that's good.
That's one positive
doesn't know what he's
thing
saying.
In the light of the tunnel.
I just kind of want to echo Dracaney's sentiments that basically after like maybe 7 or 8 episodes, everyone just basically, it seems like they pretty much started to get it, except for Ash's voice actor. But after movie 9, her performance there was just pretty much flawless. So
yeah, I'd say that too.
If she continues that performance... Sarah, Ash's voice actor.
I have to disagree.
Oh, I don't know. I say if she continues that kind of performance into Diamond and Pearl, perfect. It's pretty much all good now.
I wonder if you could say here that Ash's voice is finally broken and he's starting to go through puberty.
I really wish they would go that route because that would really solve a lot of issues.
Exactly. Continuity.
It would give an in-universe explanation for it, and it would be actually fairly good.
Exactly.
One other thing I wanted to ask was,
how are the new dub scripts, and are we seeing lots of cuts?
We should have Togasa back on here because he's the cut master. And
yeah, with his comparisons, he knows almost basically.
We'll actually do a anime series episode with Togasa just for that.
Thanks, Archaic, for that wonderful piece of discussion, and now we're going to go to our next column. Next column is going to be Karuka-chan, so let's get him in right now. Hello, Karuka-chan. Welcome to episode 13, Bulbacast, Season 2.
Konnichiwa, Karuka-chan.
Yeah, I just got home from work.
Oh, yes, welcome.
Yes.
And,
anyway, nice to have
you.
Yes, what's your question this week?
Okay, this is not so much a question so much as a comment of what I think things are going to be like when the next generation comes out.
Alright.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, is that right now, basically, in the games, like, not only in the games, but on multiplayer, anyone who has strong, fast sweepers can pretty much be guaranteed victory unless their opponent is really smart. Next generation, things are going to be a little bit different. A few things why. First of all, is that nice little move, Trick Room, that reverses the speeds around, basically. It makes it so things with higher speed go last, things with lower speed go first. And what's going to happen with that, like, say you got something really, really powerful but is really slow, like Dust Noir. It's like base 100 attack, base 135 in each defense, base 45 speed. If it uses Trick Room, it's pretty much going to be an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Because, yeah, it'll be going pretty much first over everything. And with 100 base attack.
It's going to change the whole environment of each battle is what it's going to do, is what he's saying.
But what you're forgetting is that Trick Room is only 5 turns, and you have to switch out to it. If you use Trick Room with your Dusk Noir or whatever, which is the popular choice on Battle Revolution, then you switch and you bring in your Rhyperi or whatever, you've got 3 turns to do basically whatever. And I mean, and it's not like it's unstoppable or anything. I mean, I've run various calculations. You can send in your standard Suicune or Swampert or Melodic or whatever, and you can pretty much stop it. It's not like it's invincible.
It's not like it's invincible, yes, but it is going to change things. And the thing is, you don't have to switch out Dust Noir or have to use Trick Room. You can keep it in there and be using, like, Stab Shadow Punch or any of the elemental punches.
It only has 100 attack and it can't boost it. Trust me, there is a lot worse that can be done, and there's a lot. I mean, if you look at things like Choice Band, Tyranitar, and Heracross that are currently dominating the current Wi-Fi metagame, you realize that there's a lot of potent stuff out there that really has had a massive impact. And I think what Trick Room is really going to manifest itself, and this has made itself clear in Battle Revolution 2, is in 2-versus-2 battles. Because,
which I was going to bring up if you hadn't interrupted.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Trick Room in 2-versus-2, 5 turns is an eternity, and you don't even have to switch. I mean, you have your Rhyperi or whatever already out. So yeah, I think there's a lot of good future in it in 2-versus-2, but 1-versus-1, the use might be a little gimmicky. That's just my take.
And of course, there's my next point. There's that lovely attack called Gyro Ball that does damage based on speed, on the opponent's speed.
It's a steel type attack. It is one of the worst offensive types. Offensively in the game, it is hardly a big deal. Plus, you have to, even if you, I think, well, basically the formula is base power, it's like 25 times your opponent's speed over your speed, and it maxes out if your opponent's speed is 6 times your speed. The best way to get that is with, like, Macho Brace or something, and that nulls having things like Leftovers and Choice Bands that actually could make it potent. I've looked over Pokemon that are capable of that, and I don't think there's anything real noteworthy, so I might have forgotten something.
Plus, of course, there's the million frickin' clones of Quick Attack that are out now. And that's not going to necessarily stop fast things, but it'll stop things that use Reversal. That's for sure. I mean, a lot more counters for Reversal out there now.
There need to be, because now with Lucario, it's got Swords Dance and Crunch and Extreme Speed. It's resistant to Sand Strain, and it's got same type of attack boat as on reversal. That, I mean, that could basically sweep out an entire team if it's not well prepared. So that's, I'm kind of thankful for it, really.
Yeah, everyone's been fangasming over Lucario.
Yeah.
All right. Great comments all around. Okay. Any other questions you might have, Kuruka-chan?
Not really, aside from the fact that I'm pissed off Sable I didn't get an evolution.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of that going around.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
Well, maybe next generation.
Yeah, well, yeah. At least we got, like, Spiritomb, or however you pronounce that out now, because, you know, then I can use it and, like, Sableye on 2v2 and, like, Blander used.
Yay!
Just that I can say, ha, I'm using two different Pokemon, they don't have any weakness. Kiss my ass.
Call mine Suicune has no weak.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Alright.
Got anything else for us?
Not really. Aside from the fact that my conversations are better than one Blunt Man has with you, because mine are about the games, and you guys demanded more about the games, so I'm giving it to you.
There you are.
Really appreciate everything you do.
Yeah, and tell Blunt Man to love me.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm done.
All right. And you take care. Thank you for calling.
See you later.
Bye.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Take care. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Before we go tonight, once again, you have to go to the places that we want you to go to. Servers, of course, irc.pocketmonsters.net. The channels are #PocketMonsters, #BulbaGarden, #BulbaCast before the cast starts 1 hour before. The websites that you want to visit are PocketMonsters.net, PokemonPalace.net, and BulbaGarden.net. So, for everybody here at BulbaCast, thank you to Misty, Dratini927, Archaic, PPN Steve, Satoshi-kun, our special guest tonight in a Liger, our call-ins Pokemon Trainer Lisa, Fullmaster, and Kuduka-chan. This is TSS Killer saying to keep your Pidgeys safely flying and your monsters in your pocket. Good night, everybody.
Stay new to your Eevees app, too.
じゃあね、みんな。また来週ね。